Does blood have a voice? Find out what Scripture says next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director, and Reverend Rusty Thomas, one of our pastoral associates. Good to see you both.
Thank you for having us.
Reporting for duty, sir.
The Scriptures talk about the fact that blood, when it is shed, has a voice. It speaks. I always think of in Leviticus, you know, God says, the life of a creature is in its blood. And we associate blood with life. We associate loss of blood with loss of life. Blood is sacred. Blood is precious. And, of course, the blood of the Lord redeems us. We want to spend some time talking today, therefore, about blood, the theme of blood in Scripture, but specifically the theme of what happens to a land when innocent blood is shed on that land. We think back, of course, to the very first shedding of innocent blood, Cain killing Abel. And doesn't Scripture tell us that Abel's blood spoke? It spoke to with a voice that was heard in the heavens. And God said to Cain, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And that the lesson here that we want to trace is that's not true only for the first murder. That's true for every murder, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that voice also carries a message, Father Frank, scripturally and biblically. You see the message of it in Revelations, I believe it's chapter 6, where it talks about the martyrs.
Under the altar.
Yes, under the altar, under the throne of God, that cries out to God, you know, O Holy One, O Just One, how long, O God, you know, will you not avenge our blood that was spilt on the earth? You know, we kept the commandments of God. We held the testimony of Jesus Christ. We honored you, Lord, in our life and in our death. And they took our life away. They shed our blood. And the martyrs cry out to God for vengeance. And so we know that biblically, when innocent blood is shed, it not only has a voice, but it has really a demand and a message that comes into the ears of the Almighty. And it is asking God to avenge those who have been murdered and destroyed in this earth. Mm-hmm. And that's a very serious matter that runs throughout the Scriptures, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both Old and New Testament. Some of us are aware of how it relates in the Old Testament. I mean, there's three things that come to my mind biblically when it comes to the shedding of innocent blood, and specifically child sacrifice. And the shedding of innocent blood. A lot of times we view it from, you know, from our perspective. How does it affect us here on the earth? But many do not take the time to look at God's word and how this affects the person of Almighty God himself.
It seems to me the context here is that we take a step back. Before innocent blood is shed, the fact is that the blood and the person whose blood it is belong to God.
Absolutely.
I mean, he makes everything, so he owns everything. So that person belongs to him. And then it's not just the one person, it's many people. So God owns everyone and everything. But then in making them, all these people, he's entrusting them to the care of one another. So now, these people, all of whom belong to God, one sheds the blood of the other. God is affected in the sense of saying, well, wait a minute, first of all, you weren't supposed to take his life, A, because he belongs to me. That right. life, that blood belongs to me. You've tried to rob me of what is mine. And second, I entrusted you to care for one another, right. and now you're destroying one another instead. So, you know, how it would affect God, what you're saying, you know, that's the initial context in which we understand this. And then, of course, you go to step further and realize that God shed his blood for us.
Absolutely.
It's the exact opposite, isn't it, of you know, murder and love are precisely the opposite of one another.
And this puts in context, and how does this fit in with abortion? Well, it's very clear. First of all, we have 4,000 innocent children's blood shed every single day in this nation. And very often people look at that abortion issue and they say, well, you know, I'm not in favor of abortion, and, you know, I would never have one or encourage one, but, and they just close themselves off from the issue and thinks it doesn't involve them. Right. But it does, because what you're saying is, biblically speaking, God is offended the fact that we in America here sit back and don't even lift a finger day in and day out while 4,000 children every day are slaughtered. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to be held accountable for this before the Lord one day. Well, what did you do to stop the shedding of this innocent blood in our land? Because this is the Holocaust of today.
Well, and the thing we must understand, you know, domestic terrorism, I believe, is directly connected to the foreign terrorism. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a part of God's judgment upon the land. You go to Numbers, when God says, when the children of Israel was going into the land, he said, do not shed innocent blood. He said, because there's no way to atone for the land. He says, when you shed blood, it pollutes the land. It defiles the land. Yeah. And he said, the only way to atone for that blood is those that shed that blood, their blood must be shed. Well, if you think about the implications of that passage in the book of Numbers, I mean, it's, I think it's Numbers 35. And then it goes on, Father Frank, I think it's 2 Kings 24.
I was just going to that chapter, 2 Kings 24.
Yeah, yeah, where it talks about King Manasseh.
Yeah.
He's probably the most wicked king in Israel's history, and his infamy was that he shed so much innocent blood that it filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. He sacrificed his own sons and daughters to Moloch and to Baal. And the penalty, and this is scary, because the whole Christian faith is based on this one premise, that there is forgiveness in God. That if we meet the requirements, if we truly repent, and we really call upon his name, that God is a forgiving God. But in this instance, when it came to this specific sin, child sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood, it said that God would not pardon.
Yes, yes. In 24, verse 4, including the shedding of innocent blood, for he had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and the Lord was not willing to forgive. That's scary.
Now, Father Frank, that is a scary passage of Scripture. In other words, if there is a sin, if there is a crime that reaches the heavens and produces this reaction in God, where we know God is love. God is love. He is a forgiving God. He's full of grace and mercy. But there are certain acts that can take place on the earth that could literally shut the door to God's forgiveness. If God refuses to forgive, what does the church then have to offer to the earth, to the souls of men? I mean, this is how dangerous this act is in heaven.
Now, this passage from 2 Kings 24 is talking about the Babylonians coming in and exiling God's people from the kingdom of Judah. Seven chapters earlier in 2 Kings 17, as you know, we have the other exile that happened first from the northern kingdoms, the ten tribes of Israel. And it says here the same thing. It says Israel was exiled because of sin. And it talks here about, again, the shedding of innocent blood. And it said they sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire, killing their children.
Moloch.
So in other words, you know, you got these foreign armies coming in and basically taking the people off their land. The message of Scripture here is that wasn't because of some political miscalculation. That wasn't because of military weakness. That was because you weren't right with God. That
right.
took place, that social calamity, that national disaster took place because you weren't right with God. And you weren't right with God.
As the evidence.
Because you were killing your children, which Scripture puts here in the context of false worship, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's
it does.
A worship of false gods.
Well, even apply this politically, Father Frank. Psalm 106 talks about that they sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons,
mm-hmm.
and they shed innocent blood,
yep.
and the land was polluted with the blood. It said, therefore, God became angry with his own people, and he abhorred his own inheritance. And you know how that was manifest? How the people knew that God was angry over this sin? It said those that hated them ruled over them.
Ruled over them, yeah.
Now, you think about what's happening in the United States of America.
Right.
You think about the political leadership. You know, how, what they feel, what they say, what they think towards the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. Look at the great lengths they have gone to censor Christianity and to remove the knowledge of God from the public life of our nation.
It's a repeat of the same pattern. We're going to have to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about this and about the hope that is laid out for the world in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, stay with us after this break. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Well, welcome back. We're with Reverend Rusty Thomas and with Janet Moran. We're talking about the teaching of Scripture on the shedding of innocent blood, and we've seen already that, you know, it's not just a matter between God and the person who shed the blood. It's something that implicates everyone living on the land, doesn't it?
Well, it does. In fact, in Jeremiah, when they were taking Jeremiah captive and they were thinking about killing him, he said, now, Father Frank, he said, not only would it bring the sin of innocent blood upon you, he said it would bring the sin of innocent blood on the land and on the inhabitants thereof.
Right. In other words, to put it another way, we're all in this together.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he was just talking about his life.
Yeah.
One prophet's life. If you do this, the consequence of shedding my innocent blood, because I'm not guilty of any crime.
Right.
You do this, it's not just going to come upon you. It's going to come upon the land and all the inhabitants thereof. In other words, national sin brings national calamity. And this is a national sin. Abortion is a sin and a crime that cries out to the heavens for vengeance against this nation.
And we can never tire of saying it, that there is nothing that takes more life than abortion. No crime.
Right.
No disease.
Nope.
No war. No act of terrorism. Nothing. Well, Janet, you know, when we work with the women that have had abortions, you know, we've talked about how the blood cries out to God and it hurts the heart of God. It cries out to them, too. Doesn't it haunt them after their abortion?
That's right. I mean, the women all say by their testimony that, you know, they will come out and say, I regret my abortion, and they found the love and healing of the Lord. They know that, but they can't forget the fact that they killed their child. I mean, that's such a profound effect on them for the rest of their lives. They will, on the anniversary of when that child would have been born, there's a sadness that comes over them.
Yeah.
Certain holidays throughout the year, Mother's Day, Christmas, especially around Christmas time. If they have eventually go on to marry, had children, whatever number of abortions have, if they have two living children, they remember the children, you know, as missing. I would have had a son or a daughter, and, you know, It's a constant hurt that is always there with them.
You know, Rusty, some people will say, well, this is an Old Testament theme.
Right.
But we see echoes of this in the New Testament, too, don't we?
Well, in a way, yes. And one of the ways that gives us tremendous hope in the midst of this calamity. One of the things that I find very interesting, Father Frank, and it really wasn't until I really studied the subject of blood guiltiness that the scriptures in the New Testament became alive,
mm-hmm.
and really showed you the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because we got to remember, you talk about innocent blood. This was God's blood.
Yes.
There is nothing more pure or more innocent. I mean, there's a reason why he had to be born of a virgin.
Uh-huh.
He could not have the blood of man, which is contaminated by sin,
mm-hmm.
To enter this picture of redemption. It had to be pure. There's nothing more innocent than the blood of the Lamb, speaking of Jesus Christ. But interesting enough, two references that just came alive to me, Father Frank, was when the Apostle Peter, on the day of Pentecost, gave his tremendous Pentecostal message that literally birthed 3,000 souls into the kingdom of God. And he was sharing on the messianic promises. Obviously, the power of the Holy Spirit was there to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But one of the things that escaped my attention until recently, as we studied blood guiltiness, that at some point, he actually pointed his finger at the crowd and said, "You are guilty, you know, of crucifying the Lord of glory. You have shed the blood of the just one." Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's right after that we get this tremendous response to those who heard Peter's message. Mm-hmm. And their cry was, "Men and brethren, what can we do to be saved?"
That's right.
And we're always thinking that he's talking about, you know, just spiritual salvation, eternal life. But the Jews understood something, because they understood the Old Testament teaching of the doctrine of blood guiltiness. If they were consenting to putting Jesus Christ to death, who died a criminal's death when he was innocent, they were consenting to the sin of shedding innocent blood.
Right.
And they understood what God required. And it was death. Mm-hmm. It was death. And so when they're saying, "What must we do to be saved?" they're like, "Whoa."
Yeah,
they're
and then, saying, right, save our lives.
Save our lives.
Save our nation.
Yeah. Save our nation. Save our physical life. Save our souls.
Right.
Okay? And then we also see it with the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. Remember, because they told him, "You're no longer allowed to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. You've filled his doctrine. You've corrupted the Jerusalem." And then, "Quit trying to bring this man's blood upon our heads."
His blood, right.
Well, why would they say that? What was the issue? What was the doctrine here? Because they understood this truth. If they were involved in shedding the blood of the Lord and he's innocent, then they are guilty. They are guilty before God. And the thing we must understand, Father Frank, many in the church, pastors, priests, whatever, they don't want to mention the A word. Mm-hmm. They don't want to mention abortion because they actually believe it's a detraction from the gospel message. Mm-hmm. But when you actually study the scriptures, it is entwined. It is an intricate part,
yes, it is,
of the scripture.
It goes right to the heart of the gospel.
Well, it does, because it brings us guilty before God.
Yes.
It makes us guilty before God because we have shed innocent blood.
Right.
All right. But the good news is this, and we talk about the blood has a voice and it brings a message. And the book of Hebrews says that there is a blood that speaks a better word than Abel. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Whereas the innocent blood of man cries out to God for vengeance, the blood of Jesus Christ has a different voice and a different message. And it says mercy.
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 And that's the triumph that you see in this campaign with
the
women that have had abortions. They are standing up, not just saying my abortion hurt me and I regret it, but they are proclaimers of the mercy of Christ. They're evangelists. They're standing in front of society and they're witnessing that even a sin as great as this finds forgiveness in the blood of Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank you both for participating in this ministry of spreading that good news. And thank you, brothers and sisters. Let's spread the good news of the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus for those that have had abortions. Now stay with us for our action segment.
I want to be a fireman when I grow up.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be president of the United States.
I want to find a cure for cancer.
The choice to have an abortion alters the course of the future. Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. Tens of thousands of Christians are signing up for the National Campaign of Prayer in preparation for the elections. You too can do so by going to prayercampaign.org. The prayer intentions are, 1, that in this year's elections our nation will embrace the moral values of a culture of life. 2, that America will reclaim her founding principles of faith and dependence on God in public life.
3, that believers will reject apathy and take an active role in the elections by registering to vote and actually voting. And 4, that candidates will understand their responsibility to serve the people, to protect life and family, and to adhere to the law of God. Visit priestsforlife.org to sign up for the prayer campaign. This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome, friends, to our action segment where Janet Moran, our associate, and I talk to you about practical things you can do to advance the cause of life. And today we're going to talk about the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.
Well, you know, Father, as you know, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign is where men and women who've experienced abortion but come through healing stand out in a public way at our gatherings and hold those signs that I regret my abortion, and the men have a sign that says I regret less fatherhood. We'd like people out there that are interested in bringing that type of gathering to their community. We would be happy to help them do that. We need regional coordinators. It doesn't mean you have to have had an abortion to be a regional coordinator, but you'd like to have this kind of an event. They can go to the silentnomoreawareness.org website, and they can send us an email through that website, and we'll be happy to be personally in touch with them and see how we can bring the campaign to their community. But then we'd like to help them spread the message of the campaign by using the various products we've developed. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we have bumper stickers, both in the regular kind that are, you know, sticky to go on the car, or a static sticker. We have mugs. We have pins now, nice big round-sized pins that say, I regret my abortion, or the women do regret. Everyone can wear a pin, or every woman can wear one that says, women do regret abortion.
Right, because that doesn't mean
that they had one.
But
right.
It's spreading, it's counteracting the myth, isn't it, that
yes.
That abortion is somehow a benefit to women. It's not. Those who have it are the best testimonials that this, in fact, it doesn't solve your problems, it brings more problems.
That's right. So again, with the women do regret abortion saying, we have the buttons, we have the mugs, we have T-shirts, they can wear the T-shirts. I know a lot of the youth groups, there's a pro-life T-shirt day. Why not wear a T-shirt that says, women do regret abortion? And then finally, we have big vinyl banners. These could be hung in a school gymnasium, a church hall, if you're having a rally. And again, with the message, women do regret abortion. And then we have another one that has a lot of the women who've had abortion. They're pictured there standing in a group, women of different ethnic backgrounds. And the caption says, we regret our abortion. If you do, there's help. And there's a hotline number that you can call, plus our web address. I mean, a banner like that hanging in a high school or college gymnasium, can you imagine the effect that that will have? You know, a lot of these kids are the ones who go off and have abortions, but if they see there's people who said this wasn't good, a good thing to do, it might stop some people from going down that road. So we'd like them to use these products to help get the message out that abortion is not good for women.
And people have, of course, their own websites, and to link to silentnomoreawareness.org is another way to promote the campaign. And also to link to the specific testimonies that are on the website. One could make a link specifically to the testimony that has been given by one or another of these women or men, and let people who visit your website know about it. Similarly, sending out the link through one's email list. And also, pastors in churches can promote the campaign, first of all, by putting it on their church website, by telling their congregation about it through mailings that go out, and also by inviting one of these women or men to say something to the Sunday congregation at the end of the service and to share their testimony from the pulpit. Many have done this, and it's a tremendous way to lead the congregation to a deeper awareness of why abortion is wrong.
You know, if any questions they have in that regard, Father, they can email us at mail@silentnomoreawareness.org, and we would love to get back in touch with them, get a post-abortive person to speak in their church, help to get a gathering in their community. So they want us. We want them to really help us to get this message out, because, you know, a lot of people cling to choice because they somehow think abortion is good for women. if they get the message out there, more and more people will be converted to the pro-life message.
So again, in order to facilitate a gathering where women will come together and say, I regret my abortion, we're not saying that they're the ones who have to find the women.
No.
We actually have women on our database ready to share about this in their own local community. This is just a facilitator to help organize the event.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. So just contact us at Gospel Life, like I said, the Silent No More Awareness website, and we'll be happy to put them in touch with the women who want to make that event happen in their community.
Okay. Thanks, Janet. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. We want to hear from you. Be in contact with us. We'll get you some of these products for the campaign eagerly to share with you and with those you associate with the message not only that abortion hurts women and that women regret it, but that there is hope and healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spread that positive message and continue to defend life.
Happy birthday to you.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Suppose a candidate said, I support terrorism. Would you even bother to ask his position on other issues? Support of terrorism disqualifies him from consideration. So it is with one who supports abortion. That, too, is the taking of innocent human life, and support for abortion should disqualify a candidate from consideration. This is Father Frank Pavone. Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.